Welcome, everybody. My name is Jonathan, and I am going to be your host for this evening of the City Brew Tours Beer Club. And we have a wonderful, wonderful evening for you guys. We are back in the city of Seattle, and we are going to have some great beers. And so we're going to have some great guests. We're going to enjoy that Stoop Brewing Red Ale, as well as that Obetz Porter tonight. So we can't jump ahead too much, but we're also going to talk to the owners and brewers. Matt's already right on there. So for those that are here, let us know where you're calling in from. And before we get started with, you know, talking to Wayne and Brad, we're gonna kick things off again with some more fun facts of Seattle. If you have any fun facts, if you've been kind of thinking about these fun facts over the past couple weeks, then let me know. Let me know what your fun facts about Seattle are. But for those that don't know who I am, you may have recognized me from a few weeks ago, a couple months ago at this point. My name is Jonathan. I am one of the tour guides, the lead tour guide in Brooklyn, New York for City Brew Tours. I've been doing brew tours for over 5 years, and I'm a Cicerone certified beer server. So not only do I have a little bit of education, but I also have a lot of experience and enough authority to be drinking a beer with you guys. So as I mentioned, we're going to have some fun beer facts. One of my favorite ones of Seattle that I learned recently, and I know we touched on our last stream, we touched on having, you know, what the sports team was. We talked with Chad to see if he knew who the Seahawks were. So in that same idea, in 2011, there was actually such a uproar, not an uproar, but the crowd were so ecstatic that they actually, during the wild card game, Marshawn Lynch broke through multiple tackles to put the game out of reach for the Saints. The crowds in Lumen Field went wild. They went so wild that it actually read as a 2 on the Richter scale. And that's phenomenal, in my opinion. That is true, true sportsmanship. That's one that we'll share with Chad when he comes back. But before we, let's go ahead and start grabbing a beer. We're going to get our guest in. We're going to get Brad over from Stoop, and we're going to bring in Wayne from Obetz as well. Brad and Wayne, we're going to bring you guys in here. I like to drink. I don't really like drinking alone, so we're going to bring you guys on, and I'm going to have a beer with you guys, if you guys are cool with that. All right. So we're going to do that. First beer we're going to crack open, as I mentioned, is going to be that Stoop Northwest Red Ale. So go ahead, crack that. Grab my glass here. Brad, as we're pouring this, I'm just curious, what are some of the notes we should be looking for on this Red Ale?
Well, this beer is definitely a Northwest interpretation, so it's a little hoppier than you'll see for a lot of like amber ales. That's why we try to call it a Red Ale. Lots of complex malt profile, some unique malts, some crystal malts, a little touch of light chocolate malt, and that little bit of just a roast finish of it. And we tried to really make it as a pretty easy but drinking beer, but still complex enough that you can kind of dig into there and find some cool, interesting flavors.
Nice. Perfect. Well, cheers, everyone. Cheers. And, Brad and Wayne, what are you guys drinking along with us with? That was a weird way to say that. But what do you guys have it? What do you have?
I'm drinking Stoop's 10th anniversary beer, which we just released last year for our celebration of our anniversary.
They just turned 10. So
nice. That's, I mean, yeah, 10
week long, lots of parties.
Yeah, always lots of parties. It's when a brewery turns 10, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And that's actually where I was going to say, you know, I was going to mention you guys were founded in 2013. I love your guys' story. You know, you've got husband, wife, friend, you guys coming together, different careers. See that a lot. I've worked with a lot of brewers, and I see that a lot of working in different careers and then coming in with, you know, we love beer, so let's make it happen. So Brad, I'm just curious, what was kind of the turning point for you guys to start coming into that brewing 10 years ago when it wasn't quite what it is nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it was having a couple of small kids, and my wife and I both kind of being in the same our careers for a long time. It was time for a change, and I think that was really the impetus for us to kind of make the move and start finding out our brewery.
Nice. I'm very simple. It's like, hey, you want something? That's great.
Yeah, I love that. Exactly.
And the name Stoop, where does that come from?
It's a funny story. It's actually a word that our, at that point, four-year-old son said. We were trying to just find a good name for the brewery, and we thought it was just nonsensical and didn't mean anything. And we looked it up, and Stoop's actually Old English for a tanker, like a stoup of ale.
Oh, nice. So okay.
Like back in the pubs would have glassware, you'd have your stoup on you into a pub, they would size up the size of your stoup and decide how much to charge you to fill a glass.
I actually had no idea that's what that was. That's great. You always learn something new. I always like that. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, Wayne, we're not going to leave you hanging. You're also here drinking a beer with us. Tell us a little bit. I know you're over at Obetz. Tell us a little bit about Obetz. I know you guys opened in 2017. But I will say you guys are a hard one to find information about.
I'd love to say I know why, but I don't, other than we've been open for 6 years and three of that's been during a global pandemic. So there's not a whole lot to get out there and do for a couple of years there. But yeah, we're definitely not the size yet of some of our neighbors, like Stoop and Rubens and things, but, yeah, we've been at it for 6 years. Production's going up. We're still hanging out. We are very fortunate to have landed in the neighborhood that we landed in. We're surrounded by a bunch of great breweries and a bunch of great neighbors. It's just an amazing community to have landed in. We're all very cooperative, and we're sending messages back and forth on Slack whenever someone needs a bag of grains or whatever else. We spent 3 years trying to find a building, and we couldn't have landed anywhere better than we did. So it almost made 3 years of looking worth it.
Almost. Yeah. Yeah. That's the big thing that I've always seen, especially here in New York, but in every city, it's trying to find that right spot and trying to find you need space, but also you got to kind of go with what's your business model of if you're going to go more distribution versus foot traffic and kind of figure that out. So that's awesome. And I always love when I hear that, you know, all the breweries are collaborative, which they all are, especially in smaller markets like Seattle. So I always like to see kind of those collaborations. Either of you can answer this. What's the craziest collaboration you've ever done with a brewery? Or have multiple of you guys, either of you done multiple brewery collaboration as well?
I'm going to defer to Brad on this one.
We just lost Brad. Okay. He didn't like that question. So he'll come back.
I would love to say we had a crazy collab, but we only got two in before COVID hit and haven't done another one yet. The first one we did was with Lucky Envelope, also there in the neighborhood. Had a great time doing that one. It wasn't crazy for me. We were 2 years in, I think, and it was really cool for me to see how another brewery that's been open longer than we had been does things. And also, you know, Lucky Envelope, like everyone else in the neighborhood, they're just super fun. And it was just a really awesome day. that wound up with Barry and I pulling nails out of barrels and doing a lot of barrel sampling towards the end of the day. So that was pretty fun.
That's always a good day. And I know when I've done some brewing with some of the brewers here in New York, it's kind of that same thing of let's make a good product. Let's have some fun, maybe learn a little bit from each other. And in the meantime, let's drink a little. Let's drink a little bit. And same with that. Keep drinking. All of our listeners, all of our viewers, keep drinking along. We are drinking this beautiful red ale. It is very nice. Has a good little bite. Has that good sweetness to it. As I said, a perk of the job is I get to drink along with you guys. But I am curious also, Wayne, because since you guys have only been around for about 6 years or so, what kind of brought you into the brew scene and especially into the brew scene in Seattle?
I've lived in Seattle since 1990. So this has been home. My now wife, a very long time ago when we were dating, there's a brewery here in Seattle. Some of you may know Pike Brewing. It's down at the market. Years ago, they used to have a homebrew supply shop down at Pike Place Market. And they put out a homebrew starter kit that my wife 1 year saw at Costco for $99. And she thought, well, Wayne likes beer and he likes cooking, so he might actually like making beer. So she bought me this homebrew starter kit, just extract brewing in an apartment like everyone starts. And turns out I liked it. And I'm also a little OCD. And after extract brewing for a while, decided I wanted more control over the ingredients that went into the beer, starting with the base. So went into all grain brewing and brewing in the garage and making larger batches. And long story shortish, 20 some years later, my wife and I and our neighbor across the street, who is now our partner that I would homebrew with, started talking about starting a brewery. And for the longest time, friends and family would tell us that, oh, beer is really good. You should start a brewery. And my wife and I always laughed it off and said, yeah, no, there's never a good reason to start a brewery. And there's a lot of bad reasons. But then one day we thought, well, maybe. And people ask all the time what the turning point was. And it was one night, conversations had continued with our partner. And it was kind of, are we going to do this or not moment. And we're sitting on the couch and we were probably drinking wine instead of beer because she's actually not much of a beer drinker. And the conversation was basically, at the end of the day, when we're 80 years old, there's two conversations we can have. One is, remember when we started a brewery and what a shit show that was? And the other one is, remember when we started talking about doing a brewery, we never did that? Like, why didn't we do that? And one of those conversations was more appealing to us. We decided that we'd go for the thing with fewer regrets. And it might turn out being a shit show. Who knows? But we didn't want to have the regrets at the end, and we don't have kids. We have two cats that aren't going to college, so we figured we're not gambling with anyone's college funds. So, and at the end of the day,
and here you are, 6 years later,
still making beer.
Still making beer. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's like the starting point of a lot of homebrewers, and you either make that jump or you don't. And I think, I will tell you, I'm going to crack open because I'm already getting thirsty with this other one, but I'm going to crack open the Obetz Porter. And I know a few other people have already cracked open your Pilsner and have loved it as well. The chat has been going crazy about it. So that's awesome that, you've took that leap, did that, and now it is paying off. And you're right on that same neighborhood of other brewers in the same city that have been doing this for 10 years, just like Brad. We'll get him back eventually, but that's all right. We'll get him. But yeah, kind of hanging out and playing, so to speak, playing with the big dogs, which I think is awesome. And I would say that for as a home brewer, that's an encouraging thought of I do extract brewing. And if I ever decide to go to full grain, it's a possibility. And
yeah, you never know.
You never know. That's awesome.
I will say for us, we are right next door to Stu. unfortunately, Brad's popped out for now. He's heard the story a lot. I went from brewing in the garage on, like, I'd make 10 to 12 gallons at a pop in the garage, straight to the 10 barrel system that we have at Obetz now. So making 250 gallons. And I was going to try to do like just like trail Brad, because at that point we'd already been talking to Brad, we're moving in next door, and he offered for me to like trail him on a brew day. I said, great, that'd be awesome, because I have no idea what I'm doing in a commercial brewery at all. And then he had some family things come up and I couldn't trail. But during the build out of the brewery, there were so many times that, you know, all this commercial brewery equipment is showing up and I don't know what most of it is. And oddly, when you buy big, expensive, shiny things, they don't actually come with a freaking manual. They don't tell you a whole lot at all. So there was a lot of me running down to Stu saying, hey, Brad, when you're done, can you come down and tell me what this thing is and how to use it? So, oh, yeah, sure. And so he was always coming down and helping out. And I honestly don't know if our doors are open without Brad as our neighbor. He just helped out so much. And we try to do the same thing with everyone that comes to us. It's just, I don't know, there's many industries that are like that. And that's how it's been since we got there. And it's amazing.
Yeah, no, that's a phenomenal story. And I think that's also very fitting that we have both of you guys on here tonight of, you know, knowing that he has helped you guys be, you know, what you are. And it is kind of nerve wracking, like in a commercial brewery, like, wait, what is this? And it comes in pieces.
Oh, no, it's terrifying.
And you're like, wait, I have to assemble this. And it's like IKEA furniture with no instructions. And it just is what it is. But that's one of the reasons why I have been like working in the beer industry and why I'm also love talking to brewers in other cities on this podcast is because it is so collaborative of, hey, let me help you with this. Let me help you. And we're going to, because the one thing you want is everyone to succeed. And it is one of the very few industries, I believe. If somebody in the chat can let me know if there's another industry that's as collaborative as the brewing industry, let us know. But I'm not sure there is. And with that, I know some people are cracking in that porter. You guys are making me thirsty. So I'm going to crack that too. And
I'm going to need a porter in a minute. I didn't answer your previous question. What I'm drinking here is actually a Saison from Otherlands up in Bellingham.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Love a good Saison. Always like that style. What are the notes of that one? Because I'm not super familiar with theirs.
Otherlands is fairly new, actually. A smaller brewery up there in Bellingham. It's really nice, dry, true to style, a little citrus to it, little kind of earthiness pepper going on. 5.3, so nice middle of the road Saison.
Yeah, easy. Nice.
Can have a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything in the five to seven, you can have a few. You have a few in there. Yeah.
It's still sessionable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Because of Dan and Matt, I'm going to have a sip of this porter here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're getting that everything you want with a porter. It's a nice chocolatey sweetness, caramely. And what are the notes that you, what's the bill of this porter? Because I know porters can be a wide range.
Yeah. There's a story to this porter. There's actually a story to a lot of the beers that we do. The story of the porter is it's actually the reason that Obetz exists. When I went to All Grain Brewing, part of the reason I went to All Grain Brewing is when I moved to Seattle in 1990 from Southern California, there was a lot of great beer up here I'd never had before. Southern California in 1990, it was all Bud Light, Corona, large market beer. And came up and was trying a bunch of new beers because there's a lot of craft beers here, a lot of craft breweries in Oregon. and a lot of porter, and a lot of really good porters, and I hadn't really had them before, and drank a lot of porter. You may have heard Seattle during fall and winter can be a little dark, a little damp. A porter sounds great. Totally hits the spot. And then later in the 90s, IPAs became a thing, and porters started going away because everyone was just making nothing but IPAs. And I eventually started, when I was homebrewing, I wanted to make a porter that I used to like be able to get around town. Mm-hmm. Blackview Porter from Deschutes is still around. I think that's still a gold standard beer. You can just always drink that. Oh, yeah. Always super accessible.
So good.
But a lot of other porters you would find would be, to my taste, too heavy on the chocolate malt, a little too astringent, little kind of ashtray. And I basically missed more English style porters. So I worked on making that type of beer. And again, getting back to my OCD, I'd make a batch of beer, record the recipe. First one I kind of liked, wasn't quite right. Made a second iteration of it, changed the recipe a little bit, closer, but not quite right. Made the third iteration of it. And that was the one where all the friends and family said, this is perfect, leave it alone, don't change it, you're done. The way I recorded recipes was porter number one, porter number two, porter number three. Oh. So the beer has always been called porter number three because that's just what it was in my recipe book. So that was also when the friends and family said you should start a brewery. So when we opened the brewery, everyone said the first beer you have to make has to be the porter because that's why you started a brewery.
Right.
That was the first beer we brewed. The first one was close, wasn't quite right. It was a 7.3% porter. I still don't know how it turned out that high. People have asked me to replicate it. I can't because I don't know what happened. The second one was closer. And the third version, everyone said, yep, three tries and you get it right. So that beer is the reason that we have this brewery at all, or even thought of starting a brewery. Getting back to the notes, it is much more an English style porter. So less on the chocolate malt, more on English British malts. I brew true to style. So English grain, English yeast, all imported. A little more expensive. Fortunately, my wife, partner, is okay with me spending a little extra money on grain to make the beer that we want to make.
Yeah.
So I try to be true to style English porter on it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I know Dan in the comments was saying at first felt a little bit boozy for a porter, but then we heard that you'd made the first one you made was 7.9, you know, so yeah. Then we're like, oh,
I can do boozier. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no, it is. Classic.
There's an. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jonathan.
No. You go. Go ahead.
I was going to say there is actually a Imperial Porter version of that beer that we make that's on tap right now that clocks in over 9%.
Oh.
And then I've taken some of that and aged that in a bourbon barrel. So we have a bourbon barrel Imperial Porter that is based on that beer.
And is it bourbon barrel aged Porter number three?
No, that would be bourbon barrel Imperial Porter.
Oh, Imperial Porter. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I think we have converted Dan to come visit out over into Seattle to come have your Imperial Barrel Age.
We'll be there.
Oh yeah. No, that honestly sounds phenomenal. And especially that is kind of the beer that you do want in that weather where it's a little dark, a little damp. As it was also said in the chat as well, you know, that's like cousins to like England. And so yeah. That is kind of, you know, we did learn a couple of weeks ago, it's not the most rain in the country, but you guys get plenty of rain.
We get a little damp once in a while. Yeah.
Get a little damp, cloudy, a little dreary, and a porter is perfect for that. Yeah. And drinking it, it is, if I was doing a blind test and you're like, English porter, yes, this is exactly like what I would expect. You do have that, all those flavors, but with that classic, lighter on the body, but still rich flavor. It's phenomenal. Cheers. Cheers. Very, very well done.
One for me with that one too, I want our porter to be a year round beer. We have it on tap year round. It's a permanent beer. That beer I can drink in the middle of summer in Seattle over barbecue, ribs, whatever else. It's not really thick, heavy, not a lot of residual sugar left behind. Just a nice, easy drinking beer.
Yeah, and
actually, I'm gonna need one in a second.
Yeah, go. Yeah, grab one. Because it's 5.7%. If I believe. And so that's, yeah, that's an easy barbecue day drinking. That's the one thing that a lot of times I talk to guests and I'll pour a dark beer and they're like, I don't know. I can't really, I don't like heavy beers, but this would be one of those that I would pour and you would, you're visually, you're like, oh, it's going to be heavy, but it's so light, so drinkable. Yeah. I actually have to slow down because it is, it's going down very, very easy, which is very well done. All right. But so I am also curious because, you know, you've been brewing, you've told us your journey from coming from home brewer, working with Brad next door, and yep, kind of all of that. What's the next journey for Obetz?
Oh,
if you can answer that, or if you're just
I mean, if you had asked pre-COVID, I could have told you what phase 3, 4, 5 were. And then we all got this giant curveball and now I have no idea what the next phase is at all. get our name out there more, make more beer, get more wholesale accounts, build out the space we have a bit more. We have a large building. when my wife and I were thinking about starting a brewery, anywhere we went, vacation, work, travel, if we went to a brewery and mentioned that we were thinking about starting a brewery, everyone said, oh, coming back, let me show you around. Let's talk. Here's what we did. Like, here's my card. If you ever want to know something, let us know. And every single brewer that we talked to for years said their one takeaway was start bigger than you think. And so when we were looking for a space, we always kept that in mind. You know, try to start with a bigger building than you need, because eventually if things go well, you're gonna have to grow into it. And if you don't have a bigger building, then you're having to look for a second building, another location, and you're starting that process all over again. So the building that we landed in was definitely bigger than we needed from day one, but the plan was to grow into it. And 2019, before COVID hit, we were starting to think about how to build out the other half of the building. And then 2020 hit, and then came full stop on all of that. So now we are starting to think about how to build out the other half of the building to utilize the space more, bigger tap room, increase production, do a larger barrel house, start a sour program, things like that. Yeah. So really, it's just kind of, I feel like 2020 hit a pause button on the growth of the business for us. And now the pause button's off and we have to go from there.
Nice. Yeah. No, I mean, obviously that happened everywhere, especially in the beer industry, where a lot of people had to, were either just starting out or like you guys, you're like right in that middle, you know, right in the middle of your growth, and kind of have to adjust with that. Do you guys do any major distribution, or are you only distributing in the Seattle area?
Yeah, I just saw that one. That's another one that you guys are going to hear about COVID a lot. that's another one where, as I said, we were starting to look at growing and expanding before COVID hit, but we weren't there yet. So when COVID hit, we hadn't taken on a larger part of the building. We didn't have a huge wholesale division at that point. We had bars and restaurants, but not a ton. Our main revenue stream was out of our tap room. Mm-hmm. So when COVID hit and everything shut down, all the bars and restaurants shut down, the stadiums shut down. You know, there's a lot of breweries that supply the stadiums, the Mariners, the Seahawks, the Sounders, everything else. They were ramping up production for supply for all of that. We were just ramping up production for our tap room. So when everything shut down, we didn't have a lot of beer with nowhere to go. And we didn't have a large production staff and a large wholesale staff that we had to support or unfortunately lay off. I know a lot of breweries that had to dump a lot of beer because it had nowhere to go for a year or more. Now, coming out of COVID, we've started up our wholesale program and it's going great, honestly. We're probably going to double last year's numbers this year. So we are distributing more. We're still out of state, but we'll work on that. But as something that is fortunately growing, and that feeds having to increase production, having to get more capacity, having to get more production team, probably a second delivery van, something like that. But yeah.
Nice. So all of the guys then want to do a road trip to come get your beer to get it out of state. They have to come do a road trip to come get your beer.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So far, I will say wineries can ship. Wineries and I think distilleries can ship alcohol across state lines, FedEx, whatever else.
Yeah.
Breweries, for whatever reason, have not been able to. And I know the Brewers Association has been working on changing that legislation so that we actually can drop beer in boxes and send it straight from the brewery. I don't know if that has gotten through. I kind of haven't paid attention to what the government's trying to do lately. But there is an effort to make it so that we can actually ship beer.
Yeah, and I know that's a very big movement across the country at the moment. Of a lot of states have that issue of that it can go within the state, but it can go outside from the brewery itself. It still has to go through a retailer or distributor or something. So
otherwise, they call it bootlegging. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Which actually was one of my favorite facts I read about Seattle, was that you guys had the good bootlegger during Prohibition. I don't know if you knew about this guy. He was a honest bootlegger that would not, him and none of his minions would carry guns, and they were a no violence, no kill group of bootleggers. So there you go. There you go.
Nice.
Again, a fun fact about Seattle. Yeah. There's nice people there. There's great people.
There are.
You know, that's like the nicest like person ripping off the government is just like, oh no, we're not going to do it. We're just going to make booze because that's what people want. That's what they want. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're doing, People want beer. You like what you're doing, and then you're making it. an environmentally stable bootlegger. There it is. Yeah. I think with that, what is there? Is there anything with actually with Obetz? I'm also curious because I know that I was pronouncing it wrong originally because it is OBEC. Where does that kind of originate outside of, you know, just your home brewing?
Yeah. Eventually you're going to get the sense that there's a story behind most things.
Yeah.
So Obetz, I chatted with Jonathan earlier, for those who don't know, take off the C and add a TZ. When we decided to name the brewery Obetz, we knew that 99% of the people would pronounce it Obeck and the other 1% would be Czech. And Obetz is the Czech word for community or village. And the story is, as you guys have figured out, we spent a lot of time thinking about and discussing this brewery. And one of the challenges was coming up with a name. We wanted the brewery to be, roll it back. So my wife and I and our group of friends are the hub. And, you know, summer day, I'm going to fire up the grill for dinner. We just send out a text or email to all our friends, say, hey, we're going to fire up the grill if anyone wants to come over. We wind up with 20-something people hanging on our patio. Holidays, we do holidays for strays. People who don't have family in town come to our house. We do Thanksgiving, Christmas for 20, 28 people. And the running joke that my wife would make was, we need a bigger living room for these people that we gather around us. And when we started talking about a brewery, we wanted the brewery to be about bringing people together and bringing community together, building community around beer, basically. And so we kept trying to come up with a name that spoke to that, but end of the day, community brewing, not the best name ever. And we spent a bunch of time coming up with different iterations and trying to be fancy. We didn't want to name a brewery after our cat or whatever else. And one day I was just out on my bike, just spinning the wheels and trying to come up with a name. And my degree is actually in Russia, East Europe, Central Asia studies, focused on area of the Czech Republic. I studied at Charles University for a while, very involved in Czech Republic. My family background is Czech. And I was on that bike ride and the word Obec popped into my head. And I thought, that's actually not bad, because we do lean more European style in our beers, more English ales, Czech lagers, Belgians, you know, a little more old world. We do IPAs, but not a ton. And Obec sounded a little bit more like an old world, traditional European brewery. Mm-hmm. Spoke to the community part, brought the Czech side of my life into the brewery. And I thought about it more on the bike ride, came home, told my wife. She liked the idea. So we shot a message to our partner, said, hey, we're going to fire up the grill tonight if you want to come over. He said, sure. He came over and we told him. He thought about it, loved it. And then again, a text had gone out that we were firing up the grill. So we wound up with like 15 other people on our patio. We mentioned the name to them and they all loved it. And so we thought, all right, let's pursue this. Let's look at it a little bit. And we talked to the design team that wound up doing our logo. And they came up with that logo and we thought, oh, that's perfect for the identity of the brewery, for what we want to do. It all came together. So
that sounds like that's literally just meant to be. And so far. Yeah. And so far, there you go. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, it's, people are applauding it in the chat of that. It is just a wonderful story. And I think it's just getting to know you over this little bit of time that it's just it does speak to you of bringing that community of wanting to share just good quality beer with people and creating a good environment. And honestly, I did, when I saw the name Obec, I was like, oh yeah, that sounds, I could get that confused with like an old world brewery or something, you know. It does have that feel, and it has that kind of grounded feel, which I think is really, really cool. So I think, yeah, it's definitely meant to be, and also feeding into those old world style beers, which I think a lot of times people miss. And I think that's where, you know, especially in the West Coast, you can have IPA all days. Yeah. But getting classic English porter, getting those Czech lagers, is, you do get those fewer and fewer. And so I think kind of having that opportunity and having that is great. And it gives people options. And that's also what, yeah, I love about the brewing community, is that you need options. You need those, yeah, classic, you know, you need a red ale, you need those pilsners, you need, but you need those sours, you need all of the different styles that are out there. And sometimes you just need a classic porter that's really good. And I do wish I saved it for a cookout. Now that you were talking about the cookout, I'm drinking my
You know where to find more.
I know where to find more. This would be fantastic with, I did grow up in Texas, and so good brisket with this sounds, oh, yeah, really, yeah, sounds phenomenal. Now I'm getting hungry. And so with that, because we're, you know, we're drinking, we're having a good time here. Is there anything with Obec? I know you may not know what the future holds, but you're pushing along in there. But what is there anything you want to plug that is happening here in the next couple weeks, next few months, for people to look out for, to bring people in? What would you like to plug for Obec?
Oh, let's see. What do we have going on? I mean, it'll be a little quick for anyone to make a road trip. A lot of breweries are doing Halloween stuff this weekend because Halloween's on a Tuesday. Horrible idea. So a lot of breweries are doing Halloween events on Saturday. We're doing ours We partnered with Mud Bay. It's a local pet store. Started doing Halloween from 2 to 6, where people bring their dogs in costumes. Mud Bay is bringing treat bags for the dogs and stuff. We're going to do bobbing for tennis balls and stuff like that. And then Halloween party later on at night. Also not necessarily Obetz related. The Winter Beer Fest is a big winter beer festival that happens. I believe it's going to be December 15th and 16th, a Friday and Saturday. And if you like big, dark, malty beers, that's going to be the event to go to. It hadn't happened since before COVID, and this is going to be the first year it's going to be back. So I'm pretty sure a lot of breweries are going to bring a lot of fun barrel-aged things. And yeah, just mid-December, big, dark, malty, high ABV beers is going to be a good time.
That sounds fun and dangerous.
That sounds like don't make any plans next morning.
Yeah. That's definitely what that is. That's definitely this is going to be a good time. How many breweries show up for that winter
brew? Oh, let me see. I think actually the list was just released. It's a lot.
So definitely don't do anything the next morning.
Oh, no.
No.
That would be a horrible idea.
Yeah, I think we've already converted some people that are going to want to come do that road trip for December to have a really, really good time.
Yeah, it's Hangar 30 Magnuson Park. It is a massive list of breweries.
Yeah, there's you don't have probably, to say all.
I'm not going to count. There's probably 30 breweries on there.
30. Oh, yeah. And all rich malty imperials. I'm sure there's some pastry stouts in there.
They strongly encourage big, special, high ABV winter beers. We will bring... We'll bring at least two. We have what I call the Seattle Thaw. For those of you that aren't in Seattle, Seattle has a reputation for being standoffish, and people refer to it as the Seattle Freeze. Personally, I've never bought that. I don't think that's a thing. I haven't had that problem. But 1 year I made this big spiced English old ale and put it out as a winter ale and called it the Seattle Thaw, because nothing's going to warm you up and make you friendly more than a big spiced old ale. And that beer did really well. So we'll take that. We have a Czech Christmas lager that I'll probably take. And then there's the 2 days. So there's two sessions. We'll probably bring a sixtel of something special, a aged something that it goes on tap. And when it's gone type of thing. So, and a lot of breweries probably do similar things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's especially as we get into colder months. I've been seeing more and more of that happening in different cities of let's do a sixtel of this, sixtel of that, you know, or one batch of this, one batch of that, and just let's get people a good time. And I think that's, you know, you're doing a nice special beer, something rich, getting people good time. That's going to create that community at that Winterfest. That's again just spreading that Obetz name, which I think is it's making me jealous. I'm just going to be honest. It's making me a little jealous.
Nonstop flights from New York, I can tell you.
Oh no, yeah. No, it's easy to get from New York over there, which will be great. We are coming up. Let me see if we can get Brad back on here. I know he's having some issues.
While you're doing that, I'll take that for you to grab myself a porter. I'll be right
back. Grab a porter. Do that. Yeah. And as we're doing a little technical difficulties here, but that's all right. That's the beauty of a live stream. Things happen and we just roll with it. As we are coming through, as he's grabbing that porter, as I'm enjoying this porter, we have been making our way through, you know, all of Seattle. And I know you guys have been enjoying all the beers that we've been having from four fantastic breweries this month. And as you know, in the box, as usual, there you are. Cheers. As usual, we've been seeing that whole wide range of, we've enjoyed gozas, we've enjoyed, you know, IPAs, and even there's even in the box. There's also, you know, you have that Hefeweizen and all kinds. So I think that also just speaks to, for everyone that hasn't been to Seattle, which I've been, and it's a great city to visit, so much to do, and such a good beer scene, that I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is that in such a relatively small area, you guys have such a wide variety of breweries and of palates, that every brewery does a little bit of everything, which I think is awesome.
Well, I will take a moment to plug basically all of us.
Go for it.
As you guys know, Brad and I, Stupid Obets, our neighbors, we are in what has become to be called the Ballard Brewery District. So within 4 blocks of us, there are 8, 9 breweries, a cidery, a winery, and now a distillery. Great Notion out of Portland also has a tap room. They're not brewing there, but you can get Great Notion beer. There's a lot of beer to be consumed in just a few blocks, and it doesn't matter what you're looking for. That many breweries, you're going to find it. You know, if you're looking experimental ales, sours, fruited sours, IPAs, English porters, whatever else, you're going to find it within 4 blocks. If you want to go a little further afield, a mile and a half, you're probably talking 13 breweries.
Yeah, so that's a, again, as we said, that's a good time. That's a very good time.
Your liver might hate you for it, but it's a good time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good time in that day. You don't think about it the next day, or you think about it too much sometimes. That many breweries that close. And you can't help but be collaborating and working with each other, because you're in such close proximity. That's sounds like a wonderful, I would put it over a couple days just to make it safe.
We do have a brewery passport. You don't have to fill it out on the first day.
Okay. Well, there you go. I was a little worried about that. Like, you have to do it within like 12 hours. Yeah. We might not be doing that. I am curious, just because 'tis the season and you guys are doing the Halloween, what is your go-to beer for Halloween?
Oh man. You know, honestly, I don't know that I have one. We're definitely reaching the time of year where I tend to lean towards rye. We have a, just speaking to our beers, we do a different saison every season. We just finished off our summer saison. Our fall saison's coming out soon. It's a red rye saison. So a lot of rye in it, a little Grains of Paradise, a little fresh lemon peel, fresh ginger in the Whirlpool. Just kind of a nice fall spice saison beer. That one just screams fall and Halloween to me.
Yeah.
But also, this is the time of the year that I like a nice English brown. Nice 4.5%, slightly malty, sweet, easy to drink. And I know there's a lot of breweries that put out browns in spring. I always thought browns are a fall beer, personally.
Yeah.
So, my personal.
Yeah. Same, actually. I prefer browns like late or like early fall, almost winter. I know a lot of people do them in spring, of like the thawing out of, like, we're coming out of stout season, we're going into spring, but I kind of think of it the other way. Kind of like you, of like, we're getting into fall, we're getting into stout season. So let's do our little steps in there. Nice. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Like, a brown, that saison sounds delicious. And I think
it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and having those each season, I think that's, you know, one speaks to the style, but it also is just, then you can have fun with different ingredients that are available, and kind of go with, have something new for everyone every few months, which I think is what people kind of want, which is great.
Variety's good.
It is, yeah, and I love the use of rye as well, because you don't see it as much as you used to. It kind of came in for a couple of years, and now it's kind of gone a little bit. But I think, especially in a saison, that is right up the money. Any last words of wisdom about Seattle that you want to impart with us in these last few minutes we have together? Besides, visit Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle is a, you know, I moved here in 1990. I moved every 7 years before that growing up. Came to Seattle 21 and stopped. Didn't go anywhere else. It's a great beer town. Seattle is also a really, really good food town, as it turns out. And also just anything you want to do, you can probably do within an hour and a half of this town. Mountains, skiing. If you want to go to Vancouver, Vancouver's a beautiful city. You have the water. If you go over to the Olympic Peninsula, there's a rainforest there. If you cross the mountains, get over into Yakima. I mean, besides the great wine that's there, Eastern Washington is the number two global growing region for hops in the world.
Yeah.
Just Seattle's close to anything that you might want to do.
That's
pretty much. And just a great place to be.
That, I think, is the perfect pitch for our last beers that we're having there this month. Of Seattle has it all. And if you don't, it's close enough that you can experience everything, which is great. I think that's like the perfect rounding out of our month in Seattle, having beer from four fantastic breweries. And I know everyone's loving the beer and everyone's loving your stories, Wayne. Everyone is.
I should ask before you sign off if anyone has any questions, though.
Yeah, of course. If there's any,
and if not, that's totally cool. If you're just drinking beer, that's fine.
I mean, I know people are enjoying it as we're going through. If there's any additional questions, we will get those in. I'll do a what I like to call a sip for dramatic pause.
I'll join you in the drama.
Yeah, there it is. Now everyone's just hanging out as me and Wayne are just having a beer together. There it is. I think with that, everyone's just enjoying the beer. Everyone's have a great time. And I think literally we did convince some people to come visit you at your brewery. And everyone is loving your stories, loving your journey as a home brewer. And I know we have a lot of home brewers that listen and are on the live stream and listen to our podcast. And so my hope, and I'm sure your hope, is that you can encourage some of them to make that leap if they're ready, and that it is attainable. I know it's a long, hard journey. And obviously when a pandemic's thrown in there, that's not always the easiest.
That was not in anyone's business plan except for maybe Amazon's, and that's about it.
Yeah. So that's it. But so I know that definitely everyone is going to come by, grab some beer, have a beer with you, give you a cheers. And for all of our listeners, all of our viewers, we're going to do one last cheers with you guys. Cheers to Seattle. We're going to head off to the next city in a couple weeks, and we're going to visit. We're going to have some more beer together, and we're going to have a great time. So that is this week, this of Seattle, and our last episode of Seattle. I know we rounded it out with a banger, and I know, and I have to answer one last question. I don't know when CBT will be in Seattle.
That is not a me question. That's a Jonathan question.
That's a Jonathan question. I don't have the answer to that. I'll see what I can do. That's all I can say. Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
I will throw out there, Jonathan's mentioned a bunch of homebrewers. If there are homebrewers out there thinking about making the jump or not, shoot me an email. Just send an email to Wayne@Obest Brewing or info@Obest Brewing with any questions you might have. I'm happy to respond to you guys.
Yeah. And I think that is the perfect sign off. Good luck to all of our homebrewers. And Wayne, thank you so much for joining us. It was a great time hanging out with you. And yeah, and thank you for the opportunity you're providing to all of our listeners and our homebrewers. Farewell, everyone. And we'll see you guys at the next city. All right. Farewell.